Flames is a podcast created by best friends and twin flames, Chloe and Hillary, about personal development, shifting the perspective, and becoming your most authentic self. Chloe is a spiritual practitioner, astrologer, and entrepreneur. Hillary is a mindfulness expert, happiness educator, and therapist in training. We combined our strengths and knowledge to bring you the best of what we have found to be helpful to us on our respective journeys.
Hillary, all I can think about is that delicious meal I just ate.
Oh, same. I ate way too fast, too. It was so good.
Oh, my God. I ate so fast. It's like my first meal of the day, though, because I try my best to practice intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if I'm, like, really hungry, I'm going to fucking
eat. Of course.
But...
No, I'm similar. You know, it's funny because I've set aside 2 days in the week for intermittent fasting, mostly because it works with my schedule, honestly, on those 2 days. And I also noticed that, and I know everyone's so different with this, my body just functions that way a lot of the time.
Agreed.
Like, I don't want to eat until midday.
I often don't eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't normally eat breakfast. I would say, like, probably the hardest part for me, but I always notice that it bothers me. And I think it's a mental thing over a hunger thing. But if, like, I tend to eat later at night.
Oh, yes.
And the thing is, though, is I'll go to bed too full.
Same.
And then I'm like,
Yep. Same.
So I feel like I need to really, like, start acknowledging my hunger in the evening a little bit better.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
But freaking A, what did you eat?
I had leftover pad thai with a little chili sauce in it. So good. Obviously, pad thai tofu.
Obviously. So pad thai is literally, like, when people ask me what my favorite food is, pad thai is probably at least in the top three.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Even top two.
It's just the best.
I don't think I could pick just one because I really love
food. Oh, same. It's so funny because I was talking with some friends recently and I was expressing that I generally don't eat in the morning because often food in the morning will make me nauseous. You know, it's just how my body is. And someone, I forget what they said exactly, but it was something about, like keeping yourself from eating and, like, don't you love food or something? And I was like, oh, no. Don't get me wrong.
I love food.
And when I eat, I fucking eat.
Same energy.
I just have to work with how my body is.
You know, though, there is so much, like, shit that's been conditioned into us. Like, even myself, I still catch myself trying to, like, eat around a clock.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I've even caught myself saying to you, Hillary, and to Andrew in the past, and, like, I feel bad about it because it's something that's been so hammered into me that I've had to undo it. Mm. And I'm still working through it, at least for myself. I definitely do not bring that shit to other people. I had to check myself, but it was, like, it had something to do, like, it's so, like, ingrained in, like, food shaming. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember, I think when I really realized it actually was with you, Hillary, when you were here. Like,
what
there was
do?
Something, like, you had said that you were hungry, and my auto response, because it's how I talked to myself and to Andrew often, was like, we just ate, like, 2 hours ago. Like, I said something along those lines.
I hear that a lot
so
for me.
It was so careless. It was so, like, it was such a bullshit mentality. And you were like, yeah, and I'm hungry. And I was just like, whoa. Like, she's so right, though.
I'm hungry all the time.
Hillary fucking woke my ass up.
That's so funny.
But...
Oh, that's funny.
Like,
I hear that a lot.
I just love that it was like, yeah, and, like, I can be hungry. And I remember saying, I was like, oh my God, you're right. Like,
my ideal is eating, like, every 2 hours. That's ideal for me. Just give me food every 2 hours and I am good.
For me, like, to this day, for myself, I will try to put, like, these weird limits around food during my, like, non-fasting windows. I'll be like, Chloe, it's been an hour. Like, you're not hungry. That's mental hunger, not physical hunger. But then my stomach is like, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, no.
It's physical
actually.
Hunger. That's an important point, so, though. Like, because there are times where I'm, like, quote unquote hungry, but I'm not hungry. Mm-hmm. I just, like, I want to eat or something sounds good or, like, I have a craving or something. And that's very different from, like, being hungry.
Yeah.
You know? And
Also, sometimes I'll still indulge in that craving.
Yeah. Whatever. Sometimes it's all fucking valid. Yeah,
it's great.
Ugh. You deserve to eat. Not just you, but like you yes, people collectively yes, that everyone. We're speaking to. You deserve to yes, eat. Please eat.
Yes. Food is good. Eat it.
Eat it. Also, for the eighth side story, my lunch, in yes, case y'all what were was curious, it? Fucking A.
Chloe's such a chef. Like, I always want to hear what you eat because it's always, like, it blows my fucking mind. I'm like, I want that.
I feel like I'm always kind of going to be that person, though. Like, I went to culinary school for a minute.
Hell yeah, you did.
I love cooking.
And even before you went to culinary school, you basically were a culinary school.
Well, Hillary's not wrong. Hillary, I'm pretty sure we talked about that before, but, like, Hillary, I used to tell her, like, oh, but, like, I didn't go to college. Like, I would try to, like, play up this, like, I'm not smart mentality because it was what I was taught. And the last time we were together, actually, Hillary was like, Chloe, you go to school. Yeah. Like, because I would sit on my couch and watch, like, these long videos on, like, astrology. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there with, like, a pen and a paper and take notes.
It's beautiful.
And she'd be like, Chloe, you're in school. Yeah. Like, you're literally learning right yeah. now. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, you know what? You're probably right. I guarantee you, I was watching the Food Network like crazy. Mm-hmm. I was always learning new shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
But if y'all don't have an air fryer, like, it is a gift from the heavens. It is like, I use this thing every single day. I didn't know that I needed an air fryer until one was gifted to me. Thank you, mother-in-law. I don't think she listens to this podcast, but just in case. It was literally the best gift that I think I have received in probably the last, like, at least for Christmas, for sure. Best gift, hands down.
For sure.
All gifts, obviously, amazing, and I'm always grateful. Well, yeah. But, like, this one has definitely been the most loved and the most used. But with the air fryer, I put in a couple of the Gardein, which is like a vegan company. They do like vegan mock meat. Mm-hmm. And I put in some of the Gardein fish fillets, a handful of like oven fries, just like from a frozen bag, nothing special there. And then when I took them out, I made like fish tacos, basically. Like I cut up the fish fillets a little bit, made my own aioli with some vegan mayonnaise and some lemon juice, put on some avocado and lettuce or cabbage. Mm-hmm. I had like 3 fish tacos and a little pile of french fries. It was life.
I've never even really been one for fish, but that sounds fucking delicious.
See, I was a huge fish lover. Like, I wouldn't, because ethically that's just where I'm at.
Sure.
But I feel like if I ever were to like deviate from my vegan diet, fish would be the first thing I would eat.
Sushi.
Fish is probably the thing that I miss. Like if there was something to miss, I do miss fish.
Mm. Interesting. For me, it's mac and cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've found so many good cheese alternatives that I'm good.
Well, I like the Diamac. I think that's pretty good. It's just not,
it's okay.
It's not the same as like it's not mac and cheese. However, I also realized that if I, like, probably took the time to make, like, a good mac and cheese, which I am certain you've done beautifully, it would probably, like, I probably wouldn't miss it, honestly.
Mac and cheese was probably my favorite food before going vegan.
Same.
And I've tried a lot. Like, I've tried probably every one that you can buy at the store. Mm-hmm. And Daiya definitely ranks high for me, interestingly enough. Like, I don't think it's my favorite, though.
Yeah.
But it ranks high.
It's okay.
I think out of store-bought mac, the best one that I've had is by Chow.
Oh, really?
Chow Cheese makes, like, an oven one. And don't put it in the microwave, put it in the oven.
Ooh, I gotta get that.
It's good. It's, like, very creamy, and they use their, like, whatever their creamy cheese is, it's called, like, it's, like, their white cheese. I don't know what it is.
Ooh, I want that.
Have you ever
now.
Had Chow Cheese?
Oh, yeah. The tomato cayenne?
They make, like, a...
Ooh. So good.
Yeah, they have a good one. Really anyway... I'm always here for a food discussion.
Same, I love food. It's so good.
But what are we talking about today, Hillary?
We're talking about gratitude, and I'm stoked. Yes. I'm so stoked. Also, I'm grateful for you.
I'm grateful for you, too.
Aww. Yay. And I'm grateful for food.
Yes. Like, oh, my God, yes. Dude, I feel like the food is way more satisfying. Like, people that pray, y'all really do have it down. Like, I don't pray to any, like, one deity, but I think even just pausing and having that moment of gratitude for the food that you're about to
yes.
eat is so beautiful. Yeah. And I think we should, like, never lose that.
You know, I did a, 8 Side Stories. I did a mindfulness retreat a while back. And it was really cool because before every single meal, we would all get our food and then wait. And we had a practice where every single person in the dining hall would take a moment and consider the hands that brought us the food, the hands that picked the food, the hands that manufactured the food, the hands in the kitchen that put it together, every person that touched it, everywhere it came from. And we just, like, considered all that it took to bring us this beautiful nurturance, which is really what food is. And just wow. sat with that and were grateful and mindful of it. And then we ate.
I love that.
Oh, it was beautiful. Changes your perception, too.
I love that a
yeah,
lot.
To, like, think, oh, yeah, this was ingredients before. And someone had to go out and, like, pick right? it or harvest it and then wash it. And then it went to another place. And, like, the steps that it takes just to get, right? like, a meal, you know?
I feel like a lot of times we don't think about that. No. Because we don't have to go out and, like, hunt and gather yeah. and, like, you know, so we just don't think about
totally
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which it's, like, incredible. I agree. 100%. Right? Sounds like it was awesome.
Oh, it was beautiful. Anyway, so gratitude. You all know us by now, I'm assuming. We always like to define things. Now, the thing about gratitude is, like, how do we define gratitude?
Right.
I mean, like, it's being grateful. It's being thankful. I mean, I don't know. What else is there? I think that's the struggle, is, like, sometimes we talk about things that seem very simple, and it is. And at the same time, like, how do you define something that we all kind of implicitly know?
Right. This is why context, I think, is everything. Like, even when you as, like, a child is learning the language mm-hmm. of your people, like, think about how much context plays a role in that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to learn what an orange is, isn't it so helpful to have an orange be present?
Yes, exactly. So,
and also the stuff around it, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know what else to say about gratitude. I mean, I always like to think of things as an energetic exchange. So I would consider gratitude as a positive energy being given toward someone for... or something, for who
yeah,
or what
totally.
They are or do, or, you know, it can be almost anything. But beyond that, I mean, it's just being thankful.
Yeah, just being thankful and coming at life from or any situation. It's great if you can bring your whole life into it, but coming at a situation from a place of thankfulness
yeah.
of we totally did not have a definition like prepared for this, and we are always so prepared, but you know what, that's okay. We are just going with it today.
Yes, in the flow of life.
So I guess in order to maybe explain this further, I can give you some context of how I've been applying this element of gratitude into my life lately.
Yes, please.
I don't think I've talked about this in a previous episode. I maybe have talked to you about it just personally, Hillary, mm-hmm. but with this, like, lately, there's just been this, like, amazing energy shift in the air, and we've talked about that for sure.
So true.
But, like, I know in the next episode, which we've kind of done these out of order today, which, whatever.
Yeah, okay. We went with the flow.
But we did talk a little bit about how, like, the energy is just so different, and we're, like, so happy, and, like, things just seem really, like, optimistic and exciting right now. And something for me that I have noticed that's come up that I used to treat so differently. So I know I talk about this until the ends of fucking whatever, the great burnout, the great burnout of 2018 and 2019. Okay. I'm not going to go as in depth on that because I've talked about it so many times, but everything has just recently started to come full circle. And previously, I couldn't ever get into a state of gratitude. I was so upset by the decrease in numbers, by the decrease in everything that I was doing was just not working. And I would try to force it instead of letting it just flow naturally to try to make it better. And I was just being met with a wall at every single turn. And it was so hard, like, to, it was like, I got to this place where I was treating my numbers, or like, I just phrased that perfectly for the point I'm trying to make. I was treating the people that were supporting me like a number. Yes. And instead of actually looking at all of these individual people that make up the collective that is my online business support system, I was treating it like numbers.
I love how you identified just, like, that and said that.
Right. I just totally put that out there perfectly. But I was treating it like it was all numbers. Like, oh, my subscriber count is down. Not, oh, there are actual individualized people that are no longer resonating with my content and thus walking away, which, like, good for them. Honor yourself in your own space. And I couldn't see that at that point, though, at all. I just saw people were leaving left and right. I didn't know what to do. I was so frustrated. I blamed myself. It must have been me, right? Like, I couldn't imagine why anybody would be walking away at the rate that it was happening. Mm. And I blamed the YouTube algorithm. If you guys didn't know, I'd be surprised if you've been listening to the podcast. YouTube is like my main job. I've been a YouTuber for like 7 years, and I would say it's pretty successful. Mm-hmm. Has been pretty successful.
Absolutely.
And so just seeing this, like, just go straight downhill. Mm. I could not find gratitude in a single thing. I was so angry. Why is this not working? Why are people leaving? Why don't people like the content that I'm making? Anytime somebody left a negative comment on my videos, I was pissed. I was removing the comments or writing back really angry, just like, why would you say that? That's such a mean thing to say. And it's so insane to see everything 2 years later. This was like, this happened like just this last week, was like a phenomenon to me. Was I received some criticism on one of my more recent videos, and previous me would have taken that so personally and would have been like, oh my God, this person is such an asshole. What, they can fuck all the way off. Don't say anything unless you could say something nice, blah, blah, blah. And instead I was like, gosh, I wish I could remember what the specific comment was, because it was very, like, it was funny when I thought about it. Coming at it from a lighthearted, grateful perspective, which we'll get into, it was, like, so funny. I want to say the person made a comment about how, like, one of my Sims was just, like, really ugly. Mm. And because I play The Sims a lot on my gaming channel. And normally I would be like, well, that's not very nice. Like, I don't see you out here making Sims, putting out videos, blah, 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 blah. But instead, I thought, wow, like, this is a whole ass person, a whole ass person that came here, watched my content, maybe didn't love all of it, but took the time to leave a note for me. Like, so much, like, grateful energy came from this place. And I was just like, that's so amazing. And then I kind of like previewed, because it was a really old video. I've been at this for like 7 years. So it was an older video. And I was like, oh my God, that Sim is hideous. This person is so right. And so I commented back. I was like, oh my God, you are so right. That girl needs help. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. And just like that shift in perspective, where if you had asked me to do that, even like 2 months ago, I would have said, over my dead fucking body, am I gonna sit here and jive with people that are just being ungrateful and blah, 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 blah. But instead I was like, oh my God, you are so right. She is so ugly. What was I thinking? And it just coming at it from that perspective, like, people literally stop what they're doing. Look at the videos that I create, the art. It's an art form. I don't care what anybody
absolutely.
Says.
Absolutely.
Look at the art that I'm putting into the world and the things that just like randomly come out of my mind, and they stop and watch. Like, what? It brought so much awareness. And I feel like I used to avoid my comment sections like the plague. Mm. And I think a lot of creators do that, because mentally it can be very excruciating when there is a lot of negativity going on in your comments and you're just trying to like make things really beautiful. And I can see where a lot of people get tripped up. I've been there. But coming at it from that perspective instead has just shifted everything in my life. I feel like I have so much joy, so much gratitude. I can't, like, there aren't enough hours in the day right now for me to work in such a creative, passionate way. I run out of time. Because I'm just so fulfilled by what I'm doing.
Oh, I love that.
And I haven't felt this way in such a long time. And I, it's like, you forget that sometimes you have to experience the shit that is just really hard in order to fully understand the magnitude of how good it can actually
be. Yes, we wouldn't know the light without the dark.
Yes. And that's really, I think, like, the big point I was coming to is, like, I just feel like the last couple of years for me, I've had to really fully grasp what it means to struggle and what it means to not feel like things are okay and really dive into my own mental process. And now I'm not trying to tell you it's going to be perfect forever. That would be stupid to think that.
Of course.
But I feel like now it all makes sense. I feel like I am armored with such a better perspective on life, period.
Yes.
And I don't think that would have come from any other way, because I'm somebody that takes so much pride and, like, I take so much of my own self-worth from the work that I do, because I'm so linked to my creative process for work, that when there's an attack on that, it feels like a personal attack. And being able to separate myself from that and also come back to just the creative flow instead of trying to force, it's just completely changed my perspective. And I feel like I have so much more gratitude for the place that I'm in now because of where I've been.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
That was so beautiful. So beautifully put.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love the perspective shift. I feel like that's a lot of what gratitude is. It's a perspective shift.
And you know what else is so crazy? Is I feel like I've been asking for this time to come, but until I stopped asking for it and just kind of surrendered to the process and said, you know what? This is where I am right now, and that's okay. Oh my God, I'm going to start crying. This is where I am right now, and that's okay, was when it actually started to get better.
Attract and manifest that shit, babe! Yes! Oh, it's so true. The allowance, you know?
Yeah.
This is where I am, and that's okay. Like, how often do we give ourselves that gift? It's a fucking gift.
It is a gift.
Yeah. Oh. I love it.
And it feels good to surrender, even though I, for me in particular, I know for it's, I'm sure it's true for a lot of people, but I will speak for myself on that. Just, I will carry things well beyond the point of needing to surrender. Mm. That is like an active trait of a really strong Taurus placement too. Like Tauruses, that's like what they're known for, is like carrying weight through, like, fucking look at our ancestors with their crazy ox-driven carts, okay?
That's what I was just, like, thinking of.
That is what they are known for, is carrying, like, the weight of the world well beyond the point that they need to.
Absolutely.
That is all I have on me, and I would love to hear, Hillary, about your take on gratitude after we have a word from our sponsors.
Okay, so every time that we, like, break for a word from our sponsors, I know we've said this before, but the Jeopardy music plays in my head. Every damn time.
Hillary was over here freaking moving her body like a snake.
Just, like, wiggling. Like,
doing, like, a, I want to call that, like, the spiral. Yeah. Like, just, I don't even know what that is, but I was into it. We were laughing at each other.
Also, everyone, if you can, if you have the ability and the time and can allow yourself to do it, move your body.
Yes, it's so... Ugh. And don't move it because you want to punish
it. No, just like...
Move it because you love it.
Yeah, like, tap into... What does your body want to do? My shoulders wanted to wiggle, so they wiggled.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's great.
Did you know, Hillary, 8 side stories, that in elementary school, like, I think it was, like, third grade. You had Miss Stefano for third grade, too, right?
Yeah, she was okay. Amazing.
So in third grade, freaking... I don't know why this sticks out in my head, but it does. And I firmly believe as an adult that this was me moving energy, like, through my body and just not knowing that that's what I was doing, because it was just what I wanted to do. But I was seated next to Amanda Etherton, Etherton, which
such
I know
a
you
sweetheart.
Remember her. Such a fucking angel. Still fantastic to this
absolutely.
Day. I was sitting next to her, and she looks over at me, and she said, "How are you doing that?" And I was, shit you not, no one taught me how to do this. I was belly dancing.
Yes!
Like, in my chair. I know, like, I can still have a little more extra cushion on me at this point, so you can't tell as much. But I still, to this day, know how to do that.
Yes!
And nobody ever taught me how to do it. But it's funny, Hillary, this actually came to me right now. I wonder if that's my body's way of moving trauma from my hips.
Ooh, love that. I was just expressing, that.
Hillary and I were talking about how, like, Hillary said that trauma a lot of times can be, like, stored in the hips. I have hip and knee dysplasia, so I can't, like, do a lot of hip yoga-like poses to get release. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, like, if you're moving energy up, like, I always have intuitively known how to belly dance.
Oh my God,
nobody
I love
ever
that.
Taught me how to do that. Like, I don't know how to do the rest of my body moving, but I know how to, like, roll my stomach.
I love that. You know what else is cool? And I know we're, like, down a rabbit hole. We're petting the bunnies. It's fine. We'll
come
petting, up soon.
Like, all the bunnies.
But I forget who said this, but it struck me, and I was like, it's so true. Oh, it was Yoga with Adrienne. Oh,
I love her. She's great.
I'm pretty sure it was her. She said, like, have you ever seen when kids, maybe they're sitting cross-legged or they've been still for a while and they stretch out their legs and they, like, wiggle their feet in that, like, windshield wiper fashion?
Yes. Yeah.
So damn near every kid does this. I'm sure we've done it. I do it all the time. She said something about how, like, kids do this intuitively because they know that they need it, you know?
I love that.
And so, honestly, like, if you have the ability and want to give it a shot, windshield wiper your feet sometime and see how good it feels. I'm
Hell
doing
yeah.
it right now. It feels amazing.
I'm also belly rolling
yes!
right now. It's fun.
Move your
it feels
body.
Really good.
Yes.
And it, like, it feels good, interestingly enough, too, that, like, sacral chakra
oh.
and the solar plexus. It feels good for both.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
I'm so into the somatics thing. Like, so into it. People, move your body in whatever way you can. If moving your body yes. means wiggling a finger, great.
Do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. If moving your body is blinking your eyes, great.
Do
like,
it.
It doesn't matter what it is.
And I guess to kind of complete that story, because I do feel like it was weird that I left you like, oh yeah, this girl was just like, how are you doing that? I told her I didn't know. Like, because I didn't. I was like, I don't know. I just do
well,
it.
Well,
like,
you didn't know, I'm pointing at my head, but you knew. In
exactly.
your heart.
But I didn't have the wherewithal to express.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, I don't know. I just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I remember the conversation like so vividly.
I love that.
And it's so weird.
So
but,
to segue us out of the rabbit hole and into gratitude, one thing that we can all be grateful for, and I like to, oftentimes if I do a meditation for someone, or I was doing a somatic experiencing with, a classmate, and, this is generally how I like to end things, giving gratitude for the body that you're in, however it is, whatever it's like, just giving gratitude for the fact that your heart has beat your whole life. Your lungs have expanded and then compressed, allowing you to breathe. That breath has stayed with you your entire life. The fact
yes.
that your hands can hold and grip and carry and release things. Your feet can move you forward. Your legs can move you forward. And your whole body, in whatever way it functions, I don't care what your body is like, however it functions is right for you. And it gives you something. It gives you at least
totally.
The ability to be and to live. And that in itself is something to be grateful for. Always.
Agreed.
So, you know, there's one thing. If you're sitting here thinking gratitude, I don't have shit to be grateful for. You're alive, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's be grateful. So, with that, there's a few things I want to talk about with gratitude in my experience. I do want to acknowledge that, you know, in my darkest days, I didn't feel the capacity for gratitude. I think that's pretty typical. And I think Chloe spoke to that beautifully and just, you know, the allowance of, well, that's where you are at that point.
Right.
That's okay. And I also want to acknowledge that sometimes we can find gratitude in the most unlikely of places. So, like, when my grandma died, I was very close to her, and it was a huge loss. And as painful as it was, as much as it felt like my heart was being ripped from my chest and my life would never be the same, there was so much gratitude for the fact that my family came together, you know, that my friends were there, that I had a support system, for the fact that I did get to spend my whole life living just a few blocks down or even sometimes in the same house as my grandma, that parts of her got to bleed into me and to become part of me. So even in that huge, huge loss, there was so much to be grateful for. And to this day, yes. I'm still so grateful, you know, for so many reasons. And on top of that, another experience, this is actually happening currently. I am about to be ending my master's program, which is, I mean, just like insane. It's so hard to wrap my head around, because in this master's program, it's been more than just an academic experience. It's been connecting and soulful, and it's like I've found my tribe is the best way to describe it. And knowing that that is coming to an end is really sad and really painful. And at the same time, for me, I'm reminded of the fact that everything ends. Everything is impermanent. Everything changes. And that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I'll never see these people again. No. But we will never be a whole group with the same people, the same class reps, at the same place, doing the same thing. Again, like, that experience will be done.
Yeah.
And recognizing that, again, sad and painful, and knowing that every single thing in this world, and we talked about change in a previous episode, every single thing in this world, and I'd even go so far as to say in this universe, everything changes and is impermanent. While it can be really, really easy to get kind of nihilistic and be like, oh, well, then none of it matters, I prefer to take the opposite approach and say, well, if it is impermanent, if it is changing, if it is constantly moving and transforming, that means that every single moment is so valuable because we won't get it back. This moment right now, with whatever is happening, yes, will never happen again. And that's beautiful because we get the choice to savor it, to be with it, to say, Chloe, I am so happy to be doing this with you and to be talking Aww. About this and to be sitting here and experiencing this and talking with all of you who are listening. That's something to be grateful for. And every single God, and moment how can be blessed. That.
How blessed are we even are, like, to be able to be sitting yes. here in two different locations. We don't live in the same place. We're not in the same room. Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys knew that. I mean, states I'm sure we've mentioned apart. It before. But we are states apart in the U.S., yeah. but yet we still come together and can make this work.
Exactly. That's something to be grateful for. Every single moment is something to be grateful for because it's a moment that we'll never get back, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you want to be nihilistic about it, that's your choice. If you want to say, okay, if we'll never get this back, then nothing matters. Okay, that's your choice. That's not my choice. My choice is to look at the other side and say, hey, this is fucking beautiful. And how incredible is it that everything keeps moving? Everything keeps yes. changing. And we get to sit here and just be with it.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, when you really think about it. So, you know, gratitude is such a huge thing. I'm reminded of Brené Brown. I feel like I've referenced her like 50 times today. Not in this episode, but just in general.
It's okay. We're going to be friends.
That's also...
How are you supposed to manifest this friendship? How are we going to manifest Hillary if we're not constantly bringing it into our
reality? It's true. Also, I feel like I referenced Brené Brown about 50 times on an average day, any day. So... But I'm reminded of this moment, and I forget where this was, but she was talking about foreboding joy, that feeling that the other shoe's going to drop. You know, that sense that, like, she gives the example of when you look at your kid while they're sleeping and you're like filled with this love and appreciation and joy, and then this like thought or image of something terrible happening to them flashes through your mind. That's foreboding joy. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And oh no, what's gonna happen next, right?
Dude, I totally just recently experienced that.
Right?
Me and Hillary were talking about that earlier. I was totally having a moment where my husband and I were snuggling, and I was just so blissfully in love with him in that moment, and I was so blissfully in love I was crying, and I that was my initial first thought. Yeah. Was man, this is like too pure, like yeah. Something like nobody is this happy with their partner for this yeah. many years consecutively. Something bad is going to happen.
I've had that with life where I feel in love with life and everything yeah. is beautiful, and I'm like, oh shit, am I gonna get in a car crash right now? Like, am I gonna just die? Right? Like But she says the antidote to that foreboding joy is gratitude. So instead of going to like, oh no, this could happen and this could happen and this could happen, stop and say, I am so grateful for this. I'm so grateful for this person. I'm so grateful for this moment. I am so grateful for fill in the blank, you know?
Yeah.
And me being me, I want to share some research.
Yay. I love research.
So I did a happiness group for a while. I still have all the materials, but it's presently on hold. It's hard to get people to come to groups.
I wish I lived there.
Aww. I love you.
I mean, not really, though, because I don't want to be in that general area.
No, but, like, I feel you.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. So this is actually from a document. I don't know if I have the link anymore, but I can tell you all the title and the author. So the title of the article is called The Science Behind Gratitude and How It Can Change Your Life, and it's by Derek Carpenter. I'm just going to read pieces from it, not the whole thing. Don't worry. So, people who regularly practice gratitude by taking time to notice and reflect upon the things they're thankful for experience. I'm so reading this wrong. Let me start again. People who regularly practice gratitude by taking time to notice and reflect upon the things they're thankful for experience more positive emotions, feel more alive, sleep better, express more compassion and kindness, and even have stronger immune systems. Let's see. I'm scanning to see if there's other big takeaways that I want to share with you all.
Wow, a stronger immune system.
Isn't that incredible?
That's incredible.
Right? And think about this. Stress significantly knocks out or knocks down our immune system.
Oh, yeah.
Gratitude.
Stress is like our number one leading cause of like most illnesses.
Yes. Yes. It's like real bad. And doesn't the energy of gratitude feel pretty much opposite to stress?
Yes. Yeah. It's very light.
Right? Yeah. Also, regularly writing brief reflections on moments for which we're thankful, aka gratitude journaling, can significantly increase well-being and life satisfaction. Those are some of the main benefits of gratitude. They've done, if you're interested in the research side, honestly, like, it's a quick search and you will find a ridiculous amount of research on gratitude. It's actually one of the main things that they look at in positive psychology, because gratitude has such incredible benefits for us.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some things that you can do to increase yes. your gratitude and all of that. But I think what I really wanted to express is, number one, you can be grateful for anything at any moment, no matter sure. how bad things are. Now, sometimes it might feel impossible, and sometimes it might be impossible given where we're at and our energy level and what we think is possible. Now, at the same time, I firmly believe that if we can get into that frame of mind, I think we can be grateful at any moment. I really do.
I agree with that. I mean, gosh, I think such a great stepping stone for that, if you're having a hard time, something that really helps me is I'll ask myself, what is this teaching me?
Yes, I love that one. Yes.
And if I'm learning something and I can identify that, I'm grateful for the lesson.
Yes, exactly. Right? I mean, there's so much in this life. I mean, that's why one of the examples I gave was your body. Be grateful for your body. It's the body that you have. We all get one, you know? I mean, you can modify it as you wish, but we all get one.
True.
Sorry, I have a cat climbing on me. Give me a moment. I love you and I'm grateful for you. Can you go away now, please?
Okay. Freaking My Favorite Murder, the podcast.
Yeah.
Freaking, there's one of them has a cat. And if she says, if like one of the co-hosts says, do you want a cookie? The cat always meows.
Oh, how cute.
And they just like leave it in the show. Like, I'm here for it.
That's so cute. So yeah, I mean, like just now, I could have seen kitty cat as an interruption and unwelcome. Or I could say, oh, how sweet. He wants to be near me. I'm so grateful for that. It's not the right time. I'll get to you in a minute, but I'm still grateful.
And then he just lays down on your bed. I can see him like out of the corner of my screen and he just like lays down. Yeah. What a cutie.
He's a sweetheart.
He literally just wanted a quick love.
It's true.
And he was chill to go sit down.
He's such a sweetheart. So you can be grateful for all kinds of things. If you can't think of something, be grateful for your breath. It's been with you since you were born. Even if it's gone away for a moment, it's still come back. You know, I mean, maybe there was a time where you technically died for a few seconds or a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to this, you're still here. Your breath didn't just go away. It came back. That's something to be grateful for.
It's true.
So I really want everyone to know that, number one, gratitude has literally measurable benefits. Number two, it feels real, real good.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, I also want to point out, it feels really good to be grateful, and it feels really good to receive gratitude.
Yes.
Like, when you tell someone that you're grateful for them, like, when people say that to me, that fills me up. When I say it to someone, it fills me up.
I'm so grateful for you.
Oh, I'm grateful for you, too. I'm squirming again. In, like, the best way. It's like a squirm dance.
I'm into it.
So just know that. Gratitude is everywhere. We just have to find it.
Yes.
And we have some ideas.
And we have plenty of ideas. Yeah. My favorite way, top way that I use, it is my number one. And I use this almost on a daily basis. I sometimes have a hard time falling asleep. And if I'm not counting breaths, which a lot of times I will do, I'll count like, there's a certain like breathing pattern that actually does lower blood pressure and helps you like fall asleep faster.
Oh, very cool.
And so I do that a lot. But if I'm not feeling that and it's not working out, I play the Grateful Game. And I know that I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but a quick refresh. So I call this a game because I make it a game.
Yay.
And basically you take the alphabet and I do it before bed. You can do it at any time. You don't have to wait until bedtime.
Yeah.
I just tend to always have the time to do it then. And I will take the alphabet and I will either start with A or Z. And I will just start to list things that I'm grateful for that start with those letters. Mm. And what's cool about it is whenever I do A, my husband's name is Andrew.
Aww.
So I always tell him that I always start my grateful game with him.
Oh, it's so sweet.
At least when I'm starting with A. But I think the point of it is, though, it's not to like zip through the alphabet. Mm-hmm. just like a pro tip. In fact, it's better if you just fall asleep and don't even finish.
Yes.
The goal is to go to sleep, but to go to sleep with a grateful heart.
Yes.
And so really take your time. Like, don't just like, oh, I'm thankful for bananas, but you like fucking hate bananas.
Oh my God.
Don't say that. Like,
I was just reminded when you were talking about this of this. I reference this spoken word artist all the time, and I feel so bad because I still don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're going to say.
First name is Shane. Last name is spelled K-O-Y-C-Z-A-N. He's amazing. So this is from his spoken word called When I Was a Kid, and which, oh my God, it makes me cry, and it's so good. Like, good tears. Check it out. It's amazing. We'll link it. Yeah. And there's this moment where he says, there's no winning any race against yourself. Slow down.
Yes.
And it's so true. There's no winning any race against yourself.
Totally.
Slow the fuck down.
Yes.
So don't race through the game. Linger on it.
Yes, please. And something that we actually don't even have listed here, Hillary, I realize. Something that I do think is very powerful in this day and age that I just literally thought of it right now and I feel very like I need to say is something that's very powerful that you definitely should do and don't feel bad about it. Like, is if you are on social media and you have accounts, which I know most of the population does, don't feel guilty if there is somebody that is in that space that is always speaking negativity into existence and it throws off your day. Do not feel bad about muting that person or completely removing them. If they do not resonate with you, it doesn't even have anything to do with them as a person. No. It's about keeping your space safe. And making your, and I'm not saying you need to have all these carbon copies around you because I don't think that's the ideal either. No. But I definitely notice in my own realm when I see so much negativity going on or things that don't make me feel very grateful, like the faster I mute those people or like even try to offer a word of kindness towards them, a lot of times that attitude either changes or I just don't see it anymore if it just gets muted. And I feel like in this day and age when so many of us are so attached to social media and our phones, and a lot of us need it for work, need it to get our like whatever's out there, you know, and it's so important to keep those spaces a place where you actually can give and receive that energy that you desire to have.
Totally.
So I would encourage you guys as homework to clean up those spaces, you know, and it doesn't mean mute them forever. It doesn't mean cancel people out of your life. It just, you know, make that space feel good for you too.
Oh, you know what else? This is a technique I learned in a compassion class that I took, by the way, one of the best classes ever. Oh my God. So good. And this is actually for like, I suppose you could do it with people online. The intention is for when it's someone in front of you. So maybe there's people in your life that you see relatively consistently, or their family or their friends, or they're, you know, they're there and they're gonna be there. And maybe they have a lot of negativity. One thing that you could try, and I've done it, and it actually feels really good, and it does feel really grateful, and it does transform the energy. I do believe that. Imagine that when they're talking to you or when that energy is coming at you, it's this kind of dark ball or mass of energy, and then breathe it in into your heart where it will circle around. And as it's circling around in your heart, you are transforming the dark into light. And so that dark energy is going to swirl around until it becomes all light. And that light is then in your heart. And then you can send it back out to the other person. So you're literally like trying to transform the energy. Now, it's really key that if you're taking it in.
I wonder if that's a Reiki practice.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Like, I wonder if that falls under lines of like Reiki. I don't know enough about Reiki to know.
I have no idea. But I think one important point is if you are breathing in that darkness, don't allow it to sit dark in your heart. No. Keep it moving, swirling around until every single bit of it turns into light, and that's when you breathe it out to the other person. And you can do this. I've done it while having a conversation with someone. Like, they've just been talking to or at me, and the whole time, all I'm doing is I'm envisioning that I'm breathing in their darkness, transforming it into light, and then sending it back out to them. Over that's and beautiful. Over and over. It really... I kind of see it as both a compassion and gratitude practice.
Yeah,
so
definitely
give it a shot, you know, if that's your experience too. Also, gratitude journaling.
Yes.
So good. And basically, gratitude journaling is journaling about gratitude. That's what it is.
100%. And if you need some layout suggestions, I've been doing some like bullet journal planning.
And they're so pretty.
Over on my channel, and I do have a gratitude spread in my February plan, which technically I think is, we're still in February when this goes out.
But I don't know anymore.
I don't know anymore either.
But basically, gratitude journaling, just write about what you're grateful for. If you can elaborate on it, fantastic. If you just write it down, good enough. And I say good enough, yes. But like, good. Good.
Good.
And a version of gratitude journaling that is a little more succinct, three things. So I do this in the evening. I try to do it every evening where I pick out three things, just three things that I'm grateful for. Now, pro tip for all of these practices, try to switch it up. If every single day you're saying, I'm grateful for my body, 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 do you see how even just saying it a few times, it loses its weight and meaning?
Right.
Like, try to switch it up a little bit. And maybe, like, Chloe, maybe there is something in keeping it consistent with, I'm grateful for Andrew. That can be there. It's okay to have some things that are consistent, you know? It's just with some stuff, you're going to want to switch it up. Partly to keep you on your toes, partly to find more things. And
I think it's really, it's also, I didn't mention this during the alphabet portion, but something that I add to that, and this is why I say I never really make it through the whole alphabet, is I try to feel it as well. Like, I'm not just saying like, oh, I'm grateful for Andrew, okay, move on to B. It's like, I'm really feeling the sensation of that gratitude when I'm thinking about it.
I love that.
I don't know how else to explain
that. No, so what you're describing is experiencing gratitude and savoring the feeling of gratitude. Yes. So what's really cool about that is you are combining two core things in positive psychology. Gratitude is one thing that they always study. Savoring is another. They're separate things, but they can be combined. So savor it. Linger on the experience. Good tip. Really good tip. Like, super important. Oh, and when you write, if you are doing that, or say to yourself what you're grateful for, add in why, you know?
Right.
Maybe don't just leave it as like, oh, I'm grateful for, I'm just going to keep using the body as an example. I'm grateful for my body. Okay, why? I'm grateful for my body because I can go on a run when I want to. I'm grateful for my body because it gives me the ability to speak what I'm thinking and feeling, you know? Those are two different things. You're still starting with the same thing, but now it's shifted. You see?
Yeah.
So
I love that.
You know, some pro tips for gratitude. And I think we have one more thing, right?
Do we?
Yeah, one more.
Oh, express gratitude to someone.
Yeah, and see how
which
it
we
feels.
Have just given you the example, I think, twice in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, so maybe this is a good time, because when you express gratitude, see how it feels. See how it feels when you express it. See how it feels when you receive it. And maybe we can speak to that right now, like, because we just did it. You know? So, Chloe, what was it like for you to give and receive gratitude?
It gave me the warm fuzzies.
Me too!
I would say almost in both exchange. Like, on both ends of the, like, in receiving and giving.
You know what? You're right.
Warm and fuzzy.
I felt like dancing. Like, I felt like a five-year-old when their favorite song comes on. And they just dance all crazy and, like, jump around, you know?
Real talk, I think my favorite song when I was five was Earl Had to Die by Dixie Chicks.
What?
It's a great song, and people that loved the Dixie Chicks will be like, dude, wait,
can you say that title again?
I think it was called, like, Because Earl Had to Die or something.
Okay. Na, 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 this na. Is such a side story.
I'm ready. My body is ready.
That kind of blew my mind because I find it helpful to take pieces of me that I need to work with and visualize them and, like, give them a form to work with. So mm-hmm. I have a shame gremlin. And my shame gremlin's name is Earl.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Dude, you gotta listen to the song.
Apparently because Earl needed to die. Although yeah. I did just put him in a bed so he can take a very, very long nap.
Earl is definitely a shithead in this song. Ah,
well, yeah.
But it's all right. He does.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of a shithead as a shame gremlin, too. But you know what? He's just scared. He's just scared. Needs to take a Mood. Long nap. Like a real long nap. But it's funny that that came up because one question that someone asked me recently was, is there anything that you're grateful for about your shame gremlin? And when I really thought about it, I said, yeah, because without that, I would not be who I am or where I am, would not have had any of the experiences I had. Everything in my life would be different. So while I don't need him anymore, I am grateful that he was there. Hmm. You see how you could turn anything into gratitude?
Right? She's not wrong.
It's kind of a fun game.
It is kind of a fun game. We're just two chicks high on life.
Oh my God, it's so true. And I think that's all we have.
Yeah, I think that's everything. So thank you guys so much for joining us. We will talk to you again next Monday. We're going to be talking about manifestation and how to make it simple and effective for you. And we know because we already recorded it.
Yes.
All right, you guys have a great day and a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
If you love what you heard today, please come and follow us on our social media platforms. We are at Twin Flames Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Use the hashtag AuthenticityWarrior to connect and share your authentic path with us. If you'd like to support us on our mission to spread authenticity to the collective, consider becoming a contributor on our main hub, Anchor. Anchor provides the ability not only to give feedback to the podcast, but you can also send in voice recorded questions that we are able to insert and answer on the show. Link in the show notes below. Another way to support us is by leaving a review. It really helps us to be seen and recommended more. If you do decide to review us, no matter the rating, screenshot it and send it to our email for a free guided meditation created by Hillary. More info on that below. And lastly, have a question, comment, or a concern? Send us an email. We'll do our best to reach back to you. Have a fantastic week. And remember, when you stand tall in your authenticity, you give others the assurance to do the same. We'll talk to you again next Monday.